While we're turning there, last time I spoke about, he who is faithful with little things will be faithful with big things, and whoever is unfaithful with little things will be unfaithful with big things. And, you know, there are times where we have to make big decisions in our lives between what's right and what's wrong, whether we're going to follow the Lord with the big things in our lives or not. And it's hard for us to practice how we're going to respond to those situations because they don't come up every day. And the best way we can prepare ourselves for them is to be faithful with the little things. If we're faithful with the little things in our lives, we'll be faithful in the big things when they come along. So we really need to focus on being faithful with the little things in our lives. So tonight, I figured I'd talk about, you know, ways that can help us to be faithful with the little things in our lives. And as I was preparing this message, I started to feel bad because I realized that, you know, I'm not always faithful with the little things in my life. So I'd pretty much be standing up there like a hypocrite or something, like saying, oh, this is how you do it, when I don't do it myself. But then I thought, well, if I give the disclaimer and come clean and confess it right up at the beginning, then everyone knows, okay, I'm talking about this, but I'm no expert at it. So that's my disclaimer here. So being faithful with the little things, what are some things that can help us to be faithful in the little things in our lives? And the first passage I want to read is from Romans chapter 4 and verse 3. And we read, "For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." And like so many things as believers, obviously we're saved through our faith, but believing God about things is central to us, you know, being able to make the right choices with the little things. And let's flip back to Genesis chapter 15, which is where that's a quotation from, and look at what God is saying to Abraham in this passage. So in Genesis chapter 15, in verse 6 is what that quotation came from, and I like the way it reads in the book of Romans better. That's why I read the one in the book of Romans first. But in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6, we read, "And he," being Abraham, "believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness." But what has the Lord just told Abraham? Let's go to verse 1 of Genesis chapter 15. "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward.'" And I want to focus in on the last part of that, that God is his exceedingly great reward, that, you know, he has an inheritance in God, and, you know, that's Abraham's reward. That's his exceedingly great reward. And Abraham believes God about that and a few other things in this passage. The next few verses talk about, you know, his heir will not be Eliezer of Damascus, and, you know, his descendants will be as numerous as the sand of the seashore. So there's a number of things that God says to him here. But the one we're going to pull out is that God is his exceedingly great reward. And as believers, we need to remember that we have a better inheritance with God than anything we're going to get here in this world. And it's important for us to keep that in mind if we're going to find it worth it to do the right thing with the little things in our lives. You know, there's so many times where we think doing the wrong thing is going to make us happy, or it's going to be better, it's easier, whatever. And it's hard to do the right thing all the time in situations, especially when nobody else is watching you, and the decisions you make where, you know, it's just you and God and nobody else is going to know, at least so you think, which way you chose or what you choose. It's hard often to do the right thing, but if we're going to be successful at that, one of the keys in my mind, in my opinion at least, is we have to remember how great our reward is, how great our inheritance with the Lord is. Let's look at some more verses that echo this theme. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. And I guess, you know, I started by saying, you know, we need to believe God. The part that we need to believe God on is that the reward God has for us is better than whatever we're going to get in this world, than the things of this world. So it is worth it to do the right thing, because, you know, we need to be fully believe God, that what he has for us is better than the things of this world, so we can walk away from the things of this world and despise it. But in Daniel chapter 12, I want to read verse 10. "Many shall be purified, made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." Let's summarize this. So, you know, The wicked are going to keep doing wickedly, and they won't understand. Now let's jump down to verse 13. But you, and he's talking to Daniel, go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. So the comforting words to Daniel are, you know, the wicked are going to do wickedly. They're going to behave wickedly and do whatever. But, you know, don't worry about all that. You know, you shall rest and then you're going to arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. You know, Daniel, you have an inheritance. You have an inheritance in the Lord, and it's better than the things of this world. So don't worry about the wicked being wicked. Believe God that, you know, your inheritance is better than the things of this world. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 13 and see some things that the Lord says about the inheritance of the believer. Matthew chapter 13. And we'll read in verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. For joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Here we have two stories of someone that found something of great worth and gave up everything they had to get that object. And the Lord's point here in this teaching of his is that, you know, the kingdom of heaven is like that valuable object. You know, it's not worth anything else you have in this world. And we need to keep that in the forefront of our minds and remember that, you know, our inheritance with the Lord is far greater than the things of this world. So we can despise the things of this world. We can walk away from it. And remember that when we're in situations where, you know, we're tempted to do the wrong thing with the little things in our lives. If we remember that, I think it helps us a lot. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8, and we can see the Apostle Paul's attitude on this. Romans chapter 8, and we'll read verse 18, and Paul writes, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." The Apostle Paul looks forward to the future glory, the glory of our eternal inheritance, and says, you know, whatever problems we face in this world aren't worth it. The things of this world aren't worth it. And, you know, he remembers that what's coming, what God has in store for the believer's inheritance in God is better. And we need to believe God that it really is better than the things of this world. Let's look at one more example in Hebrews chapter 12. And this time we'll be looking at the Lord Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, we read, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." This is a very familiar verse to us, but it says, for the joy set before him, the Lord Jesus wasn't looking at the here and today. He was looking at the joy set before him, or, you know, the end result of all the things that he was going to go through was what he paid attention to and what he had in his mind, what he was looking at. And that's how we need to behave as believers as well. When it comes to the small things in our lives, if we remember the eternal picture, the end result, and the inheritance God has for us, it helps us to make better decisions in the short term. Let's now go through chapter 11 of Hebrews, one of the most famous chapters, and it's famous for being the chapter on faith. And the thing that we want to look at as we go through this chapter and look at the people in it is, you know, it doesn't take all these characters and say, and then they got down on their knees and put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells you how their lives were different because of their faith. They were all saved through their faith and they had faith in God, but the example that we get here in this chapter is of something they did differently in their lives because they were looking beyond this life. They believed God, that God had something better for them, that God's eternal inheritance for them was better than the things of this world. So let's go through this chapter. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." And I want to just throw in one more thing here. You know, this chapter says faith, and I was talking about believing God, but Faith and believe are the same word in the Greek. There's not two words for them. We have two separate words in English, but it's all the same thing here in the Greek. So we don't have to get caught up in the fact that the word faith is here and we're talking about believing God, that the inheritance he has for us is better. Verse 4, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. So what happened here with the story of Abel, we know the story, he offered God the best that he had, whereas Cain just found something and offered it to God. And we can, you know, kind of simplify it to Abel, because of his faith in God, gave the best that he had to God, or gave financially to God. And, you know, that's a good thing for us to remember in our own lives. You know, giving to the Lord is something that can be hard for us at times. There's plenty of other things we'd all love to spend our money on rather than give to the Lord. And, you know, nobody really knows what you give to the Lord or what you don't give to the Lord. It's kind of a between you and God thing. But if you're going to be faithful in that, you know, a good thing to help you be faithful in that is to remember your internal inheritance is greater than whatever you're going to buy with that money. You know, it's better. So let's go on. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken away, so he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So what's happened here? Enoch was taken because he pleased God. And then we have this explanation in verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God because, you know, in order to please God, you have to believe that he exists. And if you don't believe that God exists, you're not going to try to please him. It's not really a possibility. And, you know, if we as believers don't, well, you have to believe God exists if you're going to be a believer. But, you know, if you don't believe God exists, you can't please him. If you're not thinking about the eternal picture, if you're not thinking about the inheritance God has for us and keeping that in your mind, it's going to be hard for you to, you know, say, hey, why don't I try to please God with my life? It gets harder. Let's move on. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. I like to summarize Noah as, you know, he is the one who made the ultimate time commitment to the Lord. He spent 100 years making this ark. I don't even have 100 years of life, most likely. And, you know, Noah took that time and gave it to the Lord. So, you know, we have Abel who gave his financial goods or his material possessions to the Lord. Noah here gives his time to the Lord. And, you know, there's a lot of things we would rather do with our time if we're not, you know, remembering that the things of the Lord are important. If we don't have faith, that it matters, that the Lord's inheritance for us is more valuable than whatever we're going to get here. You know, I love sleeping in, but, you know, and you guys are great people and everything, but if I wasn't convinced that it was the Lord's will for me to be at the meeting, you know, I would be very tempted to sleep in a lot of days, and I probably wouldn't be here as often as I am because I love to sleep in. And it's hard for us sometimes to give our time to the Lord. You know, we give our time to, you know, study his word. And, you know, there are times where we're tempted not to give our time to the Lord. There are times where we should give our time to the Lord and we don't. But, you know, Noah here gave his time to the Lord because of his faith in the Lord, because he remembered that the things of the Lord are, he believed God, that what God had for him and his inheritance in the Lord was better than whatever he was going to get here on earth. Let's continue on in verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in a land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So here we have Abraham, and what does Abraham do? He goes where the Lord wants him to go. He picks up and goes where the Lord wants him to go, which is not a trivial thing. You know, it's a big thing if you want to go move to another country or something. You don't just make this decision lightly. Abraham does it because that's what God wants him to do. And, you know, if we're, as believers, you know, are not walking with the Lord and remembering that, you know, the Lord has something better for us than the things of this earth, we may not want to leave our family and our home and our people and all this other stuff. But Abraham makes this drastic change in his life because, you know, he's looking on to his inheritance with God. And that's what we are told in verse 10. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham was looking to his inheritance. Verse 11, by faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. So what did Sarah do here? You know, we can summarize this up quickly as she waited on the Lord. You know, she didn't give up on God's promise to her that she was going to have a child. I know if you read the Old Testament, she had struggles at times, but ultimately she didn't give up hope of having this child. She didn't stop trying to have a child or whatever. She waited on the Lord and waited for his time, even though from the time God promised that Isaac would be born until Isaac was actually born was 20 years or something like that. You know, she didn't give up, and she was 90 years old too, well past the age at which she should have been able to have children. Let's continue on. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out of, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So here we have this little explanation that these people were looking to a better homeland. They were looking to their inheritance that they have in God. They believe God, that God really has this inheritance for them that was greater than the things of this world, which enabled them to walk away from the things of this world, to make the right choices. And a lot of these choices were big, but big choices in their lives. But, you know, this also plays into us making small choices. If we remember that the thing that God has a greater inheritance for us, if we believe God about this inheritance, it's easier for us to make the right choice when we're confronted with the small things. Verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. We already talked about Abraham. No one gets two turns here, so I'm going to keep moving. Verse 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph in worship, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. So what happened here? Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Jacob blessed the sons of Joseph, and then Joseph gave instructions concerning his bones. I kind of grouped these three in my mind that, you know, they proclaimed the word of the Lord, and, you know, it was by faith. They believed that what God was saying was true, and they spent their time proclaiming God's word to people, and, you know, had faith that what God was saying through them was true. Verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because he saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's commands. So what did Moses' parents do? Moses' parents obeyed the Lord rather than man because of their faith, even though they were risking their lives in a big way, their lives and their other children's lives and who knows who else's lives by doing this. They did what was right and obeyed the Lord rather than man because they had confidence that, you know, they had this inheritance with God. This life was not all that they had. They could, you know, trust God with this, believe God about their inheritance. Now Moses, in verse 24, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward, By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkling of blood, lest he should be destroyed with the he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. Here, the verses that stands out to me the most is that, you know, verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ rather than the riches, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Moses had his eyes set on the inheritance that God was going to give him, the ultimate inheritance beyond the promised land, God's eternal inheritance for those who believe, for those who are saved, and he was able to esteem the things of this world because he had his eyes fixed on this inheritance which he would receive, and he remembered it. Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. So here Joshua led the people of Israel around the walls of Jericho. He had faith to do things God's way. God told them to walk around the city 7 times. Most military commanders probably would have had a different tactic and wouldn't have done it that way, but Joshua, does it God's way. Verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who had not believed when she had received the spies with peace. So here, Rahab received the spies with peace, and she was saved from this, but the reason she did this was because she believed God. She believed that what God said was going to happen. So, we can read the last few verses. Verse 32, and what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to fight the armies of aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they were wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. All these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. So here, the concluding verses of this chapter tell us, you know, these people didn't receive anything in this world. In fact, they got a lot of bad things happen to them. But, by faith, they believed what God had for them was better. And so as we went through this passage, we saw all these things that these people did. Their actions, it doesn't say by faith, they put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and were saved. What it says is, because of their faith in the inheritance that God had for them, the eternal inheritance that God had for them, they were able to do the right thing for God and to obey him in this. Let's look at one more example in chapter 12 of someone who is not able to do this or did not do this. Hebrews chapter 12, we'll start reading in verse 16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterwards, when he wanted to inherit the blessings, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. So here in chapter 12, we're given this example of Esau, who sold his birthright for a morsel of food. If we turn back to Genesis chapter 25, we can see a little bit more of this story here. Genesis chapter 25. In verse 27, Jacob and Esau have just been born, to give you background. So the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, but Jacob was a mild man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with the same red stew, for I am weary. Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, sell me your birthright as of this day. And Esau said, look, I am about to die, so what is this birthright to me? Then Jacob said, swear to me as of this day. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Verse 34, and Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose and went his way. And then the last sentence is especially what we want to pay attention to. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Esau despised his birthright because he, you know, my hunch is that he didn't really believe God, that the birthright was worth anything. You know, he despised it. He didn't care about it. He didn't have this focus on the things of the Lord. The inheritance that he had in the Lord was far greater than whatever he thought he was going to get on earth. In this case, a bunch of lentils. So, you know, we'll wrap things up there. The point of all this is, you know, if we're going to make the right choice in the little things in our lives, one of the things we can do, and this is not a complete list, but one of the things we can do, one of the things that's very important for us is to remember our eternal inheritance, to keep our eyes fixed on the inheritance of the believer and believe God that what he has for us is better than the things of this world. And if we remember that, that often helps us to make the right decision with the little things in our lives for God. Let's close with a word of prayer. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the things which we learn in your word and which you have written here for us. And we pray that you would help us to take to heart what you've written here and that you would aid us as we live our lives and try to walk before you blamelessly as Christians, that you would help us to make the right decisions with the small things in our lives and with the big things. And we pray that you'd watch over us as we each go home this evening. Please keep us safe throughout the remainder of this week. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.